A look at Apple customers and national security.
Don't miss the numbers, the news, and Kai's final note. Subscribe to the Marketplace Podcast. Find it on iTunes or online at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Apple Computer is trying to give customers a sense of how often the government officially demands private data. The first 6 months of this year, there were 3,500 U.S. requests, and that's just been disclosed by the company. Many of those appear related to stolen phones, and it's not just the U.S. government asking Apple for this stuff and fellow companies. The BBC's Dave Lee has been looking into this. Dave, what kinds of requests is Apple saying it's been honoring?
The source of requests they've been getting are mainly about lost and stolen devices and also to aid in finding missing people, missing children and so on. They've broken it down by country, and the largest number of requests has come from the US, but there's been between 2,000 and 3,000 of those. The next biggest number of requests comes from the UK, and that's a considerably smaller number, 141 requests, Apple say. And it's all part of rebuilding trust, because in a way that was the tech company's biggest failing here. Not that it was going on, but that they were kind of in cahoots, if you like, with the government in not making this public. So many companies have kind of banded together and said, okay, look, we need to tell our users precisely what is being asked for and why.
The BBC's Dave Lee in London. Apple's among the technology companies that are pressuring the government to allow them to be clearer about the extent of so-called national security requests. Later today, CBS will release its profits report. The broadcaster made headlines in August when it went head-to-head with Time Warner Cable. The standoff may have cost Time Warner more than 300,000 subscribers, but CBS seems to have done better, at least for now. Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports.
TV companies like CBS used to make most of their money from advertising. Now they're getting a lot of their revenues from license fees charged to cable companies. That's what the standoff with Time Warner was about, how Vogel follows the industry for Vogel Capital Management.
CBS especially has been a leader in developing this license fee, and it can add up to hundreds of millions of dollars.
Other TV networks see those millions and want in on the action. But too much of a good thing could backfire for broadcasters.
Investors shouldn't necessarily assume that these revenue streams are going to continue forever.
That's David McAdams, an economics professor at Duke University. When networks charge cable companies higher fees, those costs get passed along to consumers. When fees get too high, McAdams says consumers will disconnect their cable and access shows on the computer or with rabbit ear antennas. That scenario wouldn't be too profitable for cable companies or CBS. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. On this day after Election Day in many parts of the country, stock index futures in the U.S. are up sharply. The FT 100 in London is up 0.1%. The Nikkei in Japan closed up 0.2%, while the key index in Hong Kong closed flat.
Show Marketplace how much you like us. Stay connected to our hosts, reporters, and top stories on Facebook. Find us at facebook.com/APM Marketplace.
There's a campaign ramping up in Washington to block big companies from taking a tax deduction when they settle cases with the government. The spark for this is the pile of settlements now worked out or still under negotiation involving the biggest of banks, J.P. Morgan Chase. In the case of alleged abuses of mortgage bonds, J.P. Morgan has agreed to pay $5.1 billion settlement, all of which seems to be tax deductible. That could save the bank an estimated $1.5 billion in taxes. Now, the U.S. Public Interest Research Group has a petition drive to stop deductions like these, and two Democrats in the House have proposed a law. But Alan Sloan, senior editor-at-large at Fortune magazine, is having none of this. He says in the Fannie and Freddie case, there's a big difference between a settlement, tax deductible, and a fine, which is something else. Good morning, Mr. Sloan.
Morning, David.
So among the many discussions that J.P. Morgan is having, there is one settlement that is set in stone. This is the $5 billion plus settlement involving Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac?
That's right.
All right. So they get to deduct the settlement from their taxes?
There was a business dispute between Fannie and Freddie and J.P. J.P. settled the business dispute for $5.1 billion. It is the classic definition of a business expense.
But wait, Alan, people who are critical of this, who are quite upset with this, are saying, I thought this was a punishment for them doing something. Why do they get to deduct a punishment?
Because it's not a punishment. Fannie and Freddie say, you guys owe us money. JP finally agrees to make it go away. Here's $5.1 billion. Don't darken my doorstep anymore. It's a business expense.
Now, if it were not a settlement but was a fine, and that could happen to JP Morgan in some of these other cases, a fine, is that deductible from taxes?
A fine is not deductible from taxes. And by the way, since we're talking about this, would you like to know where the $5 billion is going to end up?
Where does it go then?
It's going to end up in the Treasury. It's going to taxpayers. Because of the way Fannie and Freddie work, every extra $5 billion that wanders in the door wanders out the door fairly soon to the Treasury. So we taxpayers are getting all $5 billion. J.P. Morgan is getting to deduct $5 billion, but it's still out of pocket, 65% of $5 billion. And it's a lot worse off than it was. And we taxpayers are better off than we were.
Alan Sloan, Senior Editor at Large, Fortune Magazine. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, David.
And Starbucks of coffee fame said this morning it wants to hire 10,000 military veterans or the spouses of those on active duty. 5 years is the time frame. Starbucks plans to bring in specialized recruiters. Former Defense Secretary Robert Gates is on the Starbucks board and says veterans and spouses are a demographic that is, quote, one of the most underutilized talent pools in the country. For a sense of scale, 10,000 jobs would represent more than 7% of Starbucks' current U.S. workforce. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.